Well, this morning we're going to look at another one of these great I Ams. 8 times in the Gospel of John, 2x in the book of the Revelation, Jesus makes these transformational, transcendental statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And so we're continuing. We have only 3 more after this one. There's 10 of them. We'll do 1 more in the book of John, and then we're going to do the 2 in the book of the Revelation. And the reason I'm preaching this is because everything is about Jesus Christ. The first verse of the New Testament is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. The last verse in the book of Revelation is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Everything is about this one person, Jesus Christ. I had this statement that was C.S. Lewis last week. C.S. Lewis was led to recognize that if God is God, he must be obeyed, not for the sake of reward, but simply because he is God. Lewis wrote, if you ask why we should obey God, in the last resort, the answer is because God says who I am. Because who I am is the reason that I'm worthy for you to follow me. And anything that happens in your life, as I mentioned, anything that happens in your life, Jesus says, I am able, that I am. You need help, that I am. You need wisdom, that I am. You need strength, that I am. You need comfort, that I am. You need forgiveness, that I am. You need grace, that I am. And if Jesus had 1,000 more situations, remember he said, I'm the bread of life because people were hungry. He said, I'm the light of the world because they were in these booths of darkness. He said, I'm the resurrection of life because he was at the tomb of Lazarus. But whatever, the billion needs that you have, Jesus says, that I am, that I am, that I am. So this morning we're looking at one of the most famous. Let me just again quote this Ephesians passage. That God made known to us the mystery of God's will according to God's kind intention which God purposed in Jesus. With a view to administration suitable to the fullness of time. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Everything equals and is found in this unique one, Jesus Christ. The summing up of all things. So John 14:6. You all know the verse. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Some of the most famous words that Jesus ever said. So let me give you the context of what the verse is in. This statement, John 14, is in the middle of what is called the Passover sermon. This is the Last Supper, which is the Passover. Jesus was Jewish. He celebrated this special event of the Passover. And from John 13:34 to John 17, if you look at the Gospel of John, you wonder why all these pages are red. John 13, John 14 is all red with the words of John 15 is all red. John 16 is all red. And then his high priestly prayer, John 17, is because this is the sermon, the Passover sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples. So let me explain what that is. On April 11th, I'm going to conduct a Passover service here. The Passover service has 3 parts to it. You have a service for about an hour and 45 minutes, and then you have a meal, and then you have another service for about an hour. So the whole thing is very long. Hour and 45 minutes, sometimes almost 2 hours, depends how much you sing, of a service. Then you have the Passover meal, and then another hour service. After the meal, before the 1 hour service that follows after the meal, you have a sermon. And my father would always give a sermon, and the sermon always had something to do about God. The sermon was about, you know, we thank God for helping your mother through her surgery. We thank God for helping our son through a competition with piano. What did God do for us this year? It was a remembrance of the way God had helped us and ministered to us. What Jesus does in his Passover sermon is that he does not talk about God. He talks about himself. Let me tell you about me. This is all about me. And 2 of the most famous I Ams are in the Passover sermon of Jesus. This is one of them. I am the way, not God is the way. I am the truth, not God is the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Nobody comes to my Father except through me. The other famous I am is in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. Are you kidding? Yes, I'm not kidding you. This is for real. Well, what about God? It's about me. And my Father is honored that it's about me. And the Holy Spirit is sent to show you about me. You, without me, you can do nothing, because I am the vine and you are the branches. The other thing that's unique about this, John 14, 6, is because when we moved here to Grace Church, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, we got our phone number. Does anyone know the church phone number? You know my phone number, I know. You know my cell phone number. A lot of you call me, best way to call me is on my cell. But the church phone number is 354-1460. My wife noticed that. She says, that's John 14, 6. 354-1460. So if you ever want to know about the church, just think of John 14, 6. John 14, 6, 354-1460. So this is the Passover service. Jesus is giving his sermon, and the disciples have had some pretty upsetting things told to them. Look what was told to them. In John 13, 21, Jesus said, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. Now imagine, here are the disciples celebrating this great picture of salvation, and Jesus says, one of you is a mole. One of you is going to betray me. And remember, Jesus kept saying, I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and I will be crucified. No, this will never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. Peter said, that will never. They realized that there is a stinker in their group. I mean, I'm not saying that'd be funny. I mean, can you imagine? There's a guy that's going to try to blow up the whole plan. He's going to turn our Lord into a trial and be crucified. I mean, imagine how unnerving that is. One of you is going to betray me. And they were flabbergasted. Look, the disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. Something else happened. Jesus is talking about his commitment and about what he was going to do. And Peter says, I'll do anything for you. Jesus said to Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Can you imagine, Peter? You are going to actually say, you never knew me. You're going to deny me. I mean, Peter is upset. And Jesus keeps saying, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. And he has to tell them, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm leaving you. And the disciples, I'm telling you, are really, they're disturbed. They're grieving. They're distorted. They can't see things clearly. And in the middle of this, Jesus is giving his sermon. And what are some amazing words that he says? Look at John 14, 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. They were troubled. We're troubled. We're troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I mean, what a statement. The same belief they had in Emmanuel, in Adonai, in Elohim, all that the Jews know of the one God, the same belief, the same hope, the same aspirations you have in God. Notice, remember what the sermon's about? Me. Imagine, I mean, this is an unheard of statement. You believe in God, believe in me. Not me less, not me and, the same reverence, the same worship, the same homage, the same obedience you give to Almighty God, that's mine. That's to me. That's mine. That's given to me. Again, the problem with the disciples was that they couldn't see beyond this temporary separation. The grief had distorted them. Now follow what I'm saying. This is very important. When you're depressed, when you're hurting, when you've got fear, when you're uncertain, when you've got trouble, it's very easy that Jesus gets out of focus. You start to look at yourself. You start to look inwardly. You start to look at yourself, your situation, your problems. You begin to fear just the way Peter did. He looked at the winds and the waves. Oh, no, look what I'm against. No. Look who's before you. Keep your eyes on me and you won't sink. And so here he says to them, you're getting blurred in your vision. You're losing your vision. It even, they're disturbing. This unsettledness, even from understanding the words of Jesus. Now, you know how I know this? Because look what happens when Jesus was walking on the road of Emmaus. Remember in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has been raised from the dead, although they are not all convinced about it. And there's two of his followers who are going to the city of Emmaus. And suddenly Jesus goes to them and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "Oh, we're going here and here. Do I walk with you?" Notice they didn't even recognize Jesus. Do you get it? I mean, here is Jesus who they've been with and they don't recognize this Jesus. They said this to Jesus: "We were hoping that it was Jesus, this one, who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, foolish." I mean, they still don't recognize him. Imagine how they're distorted. "Oh, foolish, foolish people, slow of heart in believing of all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" So then they find out, actually they go, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them all the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And when Jesus reclined at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving thanks to them. And notice what happens. And their eyes were open and they recognized him. Do you get it? They recognized Jesus. They saw him finally. They couldn't see him. And suddenly they saw him. When they stopped thinking about their trouble, their morose, their disappointment, and suddenly there he was, they got 20/20 vision. They saw him. They recognized him. He vanished from their sight. And notice what they did. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were speaking to us on the road when he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and went back to Jerusalem. Imagine. They didn't go on to Emmaus. Who knows what they were doing? They were so excited about Jesus. My friend, again, you know what I've told you? The only way to stay enthusiastic is you got to keep focused on one thing, Jesus Christ. Don't get focused upon the economy. Don't get focused upon Pentecost. Don't get focused upon your way. Don't get focused upon... You continue to focus your entire views on the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to keep you enthusiastic. And here they got so excited, they returned to Jerusalem. They found them gathered together, the 11, and those who were with them, and saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Amazing, isn't it? They couldn't recognize him, and then they did recognize him. If you want to see another thing that was very sad in this conversation, because they keep interrupting Jesus' sermon. They're so unnerved by it, but they keep interrupting him. Look what he says here, John 14:8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Look how disappointed Jesus is. "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip?" Can you imagine hearing that? "I've been you now for these 3 years, day and night. You've seen what I've done. You've seen the works. You saw the resurrection of Lazarus. You saw my healing. You saw my teaching. You saw what I've done and what I've poured myself into you. And you still don't know who I am?" "I don't know who you are." "Why?" "Because you're all messed up. Your grief and your uncertainty and the fear and what I'm speaking about and my departure has gotten you all obtuse and all misfocused. And you've taken your glasses off and you said, 'Can you show me who you are?' He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father?'" So what does Jesus say? Let's go on to John 14:2. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you." Jesus has plans for the reunion. He's looking beyond. It's like a fairy tale. I mean, amazing, amazing words. Look what he says in verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus looking beyond it. They can look beyond it. And so he says to them, listen, we're going to be reunited. I'm going to prepare a place for you. We're going to be together. No more separation. I mean, this is like fairy tale land. This is in one world, and the disciples are in another world. They're in their world, and Jesus is in the real world. And they've lost the real world. Finally, verse 4. And you know the way where I am going. Jesus again tries to take away more of the distress by emphasizing what they've learned from him about the way that he was going and where he was going. Can I repeat this again? It's a very important thing that Jesus says here. Jesus says, you know the way where I'm going. Jesus is trying to emphasize, remember I've spoken to you about the way that he was going and where he was going. Where he was going? He was going back to his Father. Look at these words that Jesus had spoken before. John 7. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about Jesus. The chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to seize him. Therefore, Jesus says, for a little while longer, I am with you, and then I go to him who sent me. There it is. There it is. I'm going back to the one who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews then said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Is he not intending to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, is he? In other words, the Pharisees could not go where Jesus was going, but the disciples could because they followed him. They trusted in him. They realized that he was the one. You cannot go where I'm going, but I'm going where I'm going. You're going to follow me where I'm going, and we're going to be reunited where I'm going because I'm preparing a place for you where I'm going. And you know where I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going to my Father, and you're going to come with me to my Father. Let's look at these other verses. What is this statement that he says, you will seek me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? John 14. You heard that I say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater. Those, I go away and I will come to you. Some of the disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. How much clearer he says these things to them. Then finally, Thomas interrupts Jesus in his sermon. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Now just stop for a minute. Jesus could have said, Thomas, 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 look into my eyes. Thomas, look into my eyes. What did I just tell you? What did I just tell you? I'm going back to him that sent me. Repeat those words. Yes, you are going back to him that sent you. That's right. So where am I going? You are going back to him that sent you. You got it, Thomas. Okay, I got it. I got it. I got it. But I don't know the way to there. You understand? Jesus is, he's saying, listen, you know where I'm going. And now he says, okay, I take it. I know where you're going. I know where you're going. But how do we know the way to where you're going? And then Jesus gives us the words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me again emphasize what I've said before. In every one of your lives, you are going to have grief. In everybody's life, you're going to have fear. In your life, you're going to have depression. Now, maybe only for a little while, maybe for a long time. In your life, you're going to have uncertainty. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to lose a spouse. And in those situations of your life that you are fearful and you are uncertain and you are perplexed and you are worried and you're saying, what do I do? How can I get help? Jesus is saying, that's where I come in. That's where I come in. You need help in your grief? That I am. I'm a God of all comfort. You need wisdom? You need to hear the words, this is the way, walk ye in it. I'm that way, that I am. You're disappointed? I'm not disappointed. You need strength? That I am. you're weeping and sorrowing and need help, that I am. I can't emphasize that enough. This is the context of saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me tell you how it ought to be translated. Because the English version is to make it sound pretty. But in the Greek version, it's more powerful. The Greek version says, I am the way. The should be a capital T. Because the way here is what's called a definite article. It is not a way, that's an indefinite article. But when Jesus says, I am the way, it's a definite article, capital T. And that's not, I am the truth. No, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. The word and should not be in there. It should be, I am capital the way, capital the truth, capital the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus tries to stir up their faith. He wants them to overcome their despondency, their situation. I'm leaving, but that doesn't break our relationship. It doesn't change our relationship. Follow what I'm saying. It won't break our relationship. It won't change our relationship. But you're leaving where lives are going to fall apart. No, no, no. It won't fall apart. Can you still help us, Jesus, in our grief? That I am. Can you still guide us in this separation? That I am. Remember when Peter was hearing Jesus preaching and people left Jesus, and Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, are you also going to go away? Notice the words. Are you going to go away? And Peter says, how can we go away? You are the ones that have eternal life. Whom else shall we hear? Who else can we follow? You are the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to go through each of these right now. What did Jesus say? Well, the first thing, again, is that it's all about Jesus. The place or the way is not a path. It's a person. In the Old Testament, I quote this verse many times where it says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, I know the way. And my friend, listen, when you're not sure of the way, you just come to Jesus Christ and you're going to help. He's going to have you know the way. I'm telling you, listen, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. This is very important. Jesus does not want you to go down the wrong way. There's a way that seems right unto a man, and the end thereof is the way of death. Christians can end up in the wrong way. You can be sincere, and you can be sincerely wrong. And when you need to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in the economy? What do you want me to do with a job? What do you want me to do with my family? My friend, you come to the person who is the way, and God will give you the wisdom and the clear direction to know the way, because Jesus says, that I am. That I am. The way is not a path. The way is a person. The way is not a place. The way is a person. All ways lead to Jesus, and all ways lead out of Jesus. All ways lead to Jesus, and all ways leads from Jesus. Now, to show you how amazing this phrase was in the early church, this is how they described following Jesus in the early church. In fact, at one point in the early church, they had to finally tell these people that they were known as Christians, but they weren't all known as Christians. They were known as people that followed the way. Notice these verses now. Acts 9, verse 2. Again, this is the documentation of the early church. And Paul asked for letters from him, this is the leader, to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he had found any belonging to the way. Notice he doesn't say any belonging to Jesus, because Jesus is the way. Acts chapter 19. But some of them had become hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way. Notice it doesn't say the church. It doesn't say the Christians. It was the person. They were speaking evil of the way before the people. Let's read on. And about that time, this is Acts 19:23. About that time, there was no small disturbance concerning the way. Acts 22. Paul is now giving his testimony. I persecuted this way. Notice it's always a capital W. To the death, binding and putting both men and women in prison. Acts 24. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve our fathers. Notice that according to the way which people call a sect, I am serving the God of our fathers. And the last verse, but Felix, having a more excellent knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, the way. Now, this is very important. I want to give you an important illustration. And you're going to have to look up here, and I'm going to come up here on a higher podium. You know, it was not popular to be a Christian for the first 200 years. Until Constantine legalized Christianity, the Roman Empire hated Christians. They saw that as a usurping power. People lived in the catacombs. People were under persecution. All the disciples lost their life because they were followers of Jesus, except John, who was put on the island of Patmos. One of the ways you survived as a Christian is that there was a code that Christians use. I'll tell you one of them. You know that one of the things that describe Jesus is called Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. If you take the first letters of those words, not in the English language, but in the Greek language, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, the first letter is the acronym, it spells the word fish. And that's where the early Christians decided to have a symbol known as the fish. How many of you have a fish in your house or on your car? How many of you? Raise your hand. Higher. Okay, put it down. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. If you're driving and you see a fish, it's that person is saying, I'm a Christian, or at a house. And what they did in the early church, now you got to follow. I'm going to do it first up here, how they really did it, then I'm going to show you in an illustration. If you came to a city, and of course it was outlawed to be Christians, and the Romans would kill you and crucify you, if you wanted to find another Christian or a church or where there were Christians in a city, you would stop somebody that maybe this person is a Christian, but you wouldn't speak about it openly. You'd be talking to the person, and then with your right foot, the toe of your right foot, in the dirt, you would make the bottom part of an oval. In other words, the bottom part of the fish. Watch, like this. This is my foot now, and I'm going just very slowly like this. You didn't say, oh, look at this. Oh, no, that'd give you away. You understand? You just very slowly, you did this. Now, the person may thought, what is he, a ballet dancer? He's an idiot. What's he trying to do? But if you did that, if you did the bottom part of the oval like this is my foot now, and you're going like this in the dirt. And if the person was a Christian, the other person who was talking to you put on the top part of the fish. Secretly, they would do this. Watch. And immediately they say, you're a believer. Praise God. Where do you meet? We meet tomorrow night in Moishe's home at 7 o'clock. Don't knock, just open the door. That's how Christians survived. They used the identity of the fish to identify people as they would meet people just by putting it in the ground. And if the other person never put the top of the fish, they knew, not a Christian. They would do that, and then when they found the top completed, they were Christians. Well, this was the other thing they did. If you came to a city looking for Christians, looking for a church, you'd say, do you know the way to Costco? And if the person says, oh, I know where is Costco, they were not a Christian. You had to use the word the way. Now follow. Do you know the way to Costco? I know the way to Costco. Praise God. Amen. Jesus be praised. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? That's how the Christians survived. That's why they kept calling themselves the way. Based on John 14:6, he is the way. He will lead me in the way to find my brothers. He will lead me in the way to find the church. He will lead me in the way to follow him and obey him. There were three questions they would ask. That was the first one. I mean, this is the three code questioning that they would do. Do you know the way to Costco? I know the way, but you had to use the word the way. Are you on the way to Costco? No, I'm not going to Costco. Not a Christian. Are you on the way to Costco? Yeah, I'm on the way to Costco. Praise God, you're a Christian. The third one was, are you in the way to Costco? And the guy would say, what? Not a Christian. I mean, that's really obtuse. Are you in the way to Costco? What does that mean? Well, a Christian knew what it was to be in the way, because Jesus is the way. Isn't that wonderful? That is all based on the early church, of how they survived and how they met and how they identified each other by this little illustration and by these questions they kept asking. And it's all based upon the way. Jesus is the way. Look at these wonderful verses. Hebrews 10, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way which Jesus inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere hearts and full assurance." Look at the confidence here. Man, if Jesus is the way, don't be despondent. Don't be troubled. Don't be worrying. I'm the way, man. I'm the way. I've made the way. I'm going to give you the way. I'm going to show you the way because I am the way. I am the way. You don't have to decide your way. I will be your way. The way is not a path. It's a person. Having your hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, your body washed with pure water. Read on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because Jesus is who promised is faithful, because he is the way. He is the way. Let's read on another passage. Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter into it." Notice, there's a way that is broad and the gate is small and the way is narrow. There's a way that's narrow. Whether the gate is broad or the way is narrow, Jesus, I'm the way. I'm the way. I am the way. There is a way that seems right to the man, but Jesus knows my way. And Jesus knows the way because Jesus is the way. Let's go back now. John 14, 6. "I am the truth." Well, I can only tell you this. I don't know if things are bad or worse or better or whatever the case may be, but there are more liars and more hypocrisy and more damned philosophies on the airwaves, the news waves, the paper waves. There is more verbiage and verbiage ad nauseum that is all a pack of lies. Thank God for truth. Truth. Thank God that Jesus Christ gave us the truth. The truth. Let God be true and all men be liars. Because, my friend, all men are liars. Look at these words that Jesus says to us about Jesus Christ. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father." Jesus, full of grace and truth. Jesus, John testified about Jesus and cried out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we've all received grace upon grace." And then the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ. If you want to get through all the guck of blackness in the world of communication, listen to the words of Jesus. It's the truth. The truth, the truth. Remember what Jesus said? He was here before Pilate. Pilate said to him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly, I'm a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came in the world, to testify to the truth." When Jesus says there's a hell, there's a hell. I may not like hell. I may not understand the hell. I may not even fathom a hell. But when Jesus says where the worm dieth not and the fire is not extinguished, where there is the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, I got to realize that's the truth. And when the world tells you we're a bunch of monkeys, we've come from apes, and Jesus says, "Did you not read, have you not heard, that in the beginning God made them male and female?" I don't care what science will find. I don't care if they find the first Neanderthal man who looks like the very image of me with his bald head. God made us in his image, in his likeness, and in the day that he made us, he was made by God. Because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And in 50 years from now, when all these scientists and all this garbage and all these things are saying, all these worms, my wife asked me, "What words were you saying?" Worms. We're just a bunch of worms. We're all going to be dead. All those worms are going to be dead. All those words are going to be dead. "What is the truth?" Pilate said. That's the world. "What is the truth? I spit in your Jesus truth. What is the truth?" heaven and earth is going to pass away, my words will never pass away. Jesus says there, heaven and earth is going to pass away, my words will never, 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 never pass away, because it's the truth. I speak that which I know. I'm from above, you're from below. I've seen the things that you do not see. It's the truth. The truth. John 8:31, Jesus said to them, the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my words, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thank God for the words of Jesus Christ that gives you the light to see the darkness, to see the lies. It sets you free. It sets you free. It sets you free. Here in Ephesians, you did not learn Christ Jesus in this way. If indeed you've heard him and you've been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. You could just say, just as the truth is Jesus. This is really based, I think, on John 14:6. The truth is in Jesus because he is the truth and he has given us the truth. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the true. Notice how many times. True. The true God. To know him who is true. And eternal life. And who is this one? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is Jesus called the Word? Why is he called the Logos? The Logos. Because he is the embodiment of the truth. The truth. I am the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm really going to prepare a place for you. That's unbelievable. What are you talking about? I go and prepare a place for you. There where I am, you shall be also. And I will come and I will receive you to myself. That's unbelievable. That's inconceivable. I'm telling you the truth, my brethren. Let not your heart be troubled. It's not the end. I make all things new. I'm going to make it all new. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. If God made the world in 7 days, imagine what God is making in 2,000 years. You know, that's how long Jesus has been working on it, 2,000 years. He made this world in 7 days. Maybe that's why the universe is the way it is. He took 7 days to make a speck, and he's taking 2,000 years to make the universe that you're going to rule in. You may end up with your own galaxy. Who knows? That's unbelievable. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, imagine everything about life. Look what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He didn't have to say I'm the bread of life. He said I am the bread. But I am the bread of life because God is all about life. In him was life. God breathed in the man the breath of life. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't have to say life. He could have said, I'm the resurrection. But I'm the resurrection and life. I'm the opposite of the anesthesiologist. Remember that last week? John 4:10, here he's talking to the woman at the well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says you give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Why does he call it living water? Because is there dead water? Yeah, there's dead water. But the water I give is not dead. The water I give to you is going to be living water. Everything associated with Jesus is life. It's all about life. That's why he promised us eternal life. Imagine eternal life. No death, no funeral homes, no nursing homes, no hospitals, no tears, wiping away all of our tears. Why? I'm a God of life. You're going to eat from the tree of life. You're going to be him who is life. You know, Jesus, they talked about, you tried to kill the Prince of Life. You tried to kill him. Couldn't happen. Couldn't happen. Jesus said, you don't take away my life. I lay it down myself. And you know, when Jesus finally gave up his ghost, you know, it says that when all things were finished, he said he gave up his spirit. He wasn't conquered by death. He controlled death. He was victorious over death. When you give up your spirit, then your body dies, because the body without the spirit is death. No life. I should say, not death. Then everyone who drinks the water will thirst again, this water the thirst. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become of him a well of eternal life. Life, eternal life, life, eternal life. In Jesus is life, and the life is the light of men. Wow, wow. Do you realize that Jesus made you? All things were made through him, and nothing was made that has been made except that it was made through him. You may say, I don't understand that. I don't either. I don't either. But it's true. It's true. He made you. And then he made you new in himself. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So your physical life, your spiritual life, your eternal life, it's all about Jesus Christ. Because all paths lead to Jesus, and all paths lead out of Jesus. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life. Man, he who has the Son has eternal life, and he who does not will not see life. Will not see life. Look at this wonderful phrase. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we looked on and untouched with our hands concerning the word of life. I mean, you know, this is John speaking. We touched him. We heard him. We saw him. I mean, I didn't see him. You haven't heard him. You didn't touch him. But John says, we touched him. We heard him. We saw him. Notice the two things together. The word, life, life, life. And then lastly, I want to just show you in the book of Revelation, look at these phrases. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. The tree of life. He didn't have to say the tree of life. He could have said the tree. But it's the tree of life. Read on. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. So there's a tree of life. There's the crown of life. Read on. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments and I will not erase his name from the book of life. You know there's a book of life? Isn't that amazing? The tree of life, the crown of life, the book of life. And when there are these two people that were witnesses of Jesus Christ, they were considered dead. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life came from God into them. The breath of God. Well, we're almost done. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is what God has designed. I've sent the Son. I've sent the Son. I've sent the Son. And the Son, after doing his work, humbling himself, the sins of the world, the Lamb of God, obeying me, not his will, my will be done, I'm returning my Son unto me. And I'm going to make him the King of kings and Lord of lords, and all things in heaven and earth and under the earth are going to be focused on him. And I'm going to make sure that 5,000 billion watts of light, of 5,000 billion bulbs in light are going to all be centered upon my Son, Jesus Christ. And the way to get to me is going to be through him. The way to get to me is through him. No one will come to my Father except through me. I'm the way to God. I'm the truth about God, and I'm the life of God. Notice he says here again, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember, I waited halfway through the sermons to show you this element. It's all about me, Jesus says. Notice, no one comes to the Father except through me. Look, let's review them again. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I am the door if anyone enters through me. I am the resurrection, the life, he who believes in me. I am the bread of life, that was a resurrection. He who comes to me will have eternal life. I am the light of the world, he who follows me. And this is my point. This is my point. Follow with me. The reason the disciples were troubled and upset and worrying is because they decided at that moment of turmoil, it was about them. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What about me? What about me? What? You get what happened, what I'm saying here? The minute you start to make it me, you've lost him. And that's why Jesus kept saying, it's about me. It is about me. My friend, I'm going to emphasize this again. Any preacher on television or anything that tells you it's about you, your positive thinking, your things, what you can get, your success, that is all a crock of lies. Because if it's about you, you are going to not find him. It's about me. Let me tell you something. Only one person has an ego. That's Jesus Christ. And he ought to have an ego. You don't need an ego. An ego only gets in the way. It destroys your family. It destroys your marriage. It destroys your home. It destroys your work. I can't emphasize that enough. Jesus said again, nobody comes to my Father except through me. My friend, that's what the whole series is about. Me. And if you need to know the path and the truth and the life, Jesus says, it's all in me because that I am. That's exactly what I am. And if you need 10,000 ways, I'm the M of 10,000 ways. If you need 10,000 lives, I'm the God of 10,000 lives. That I am. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. What can we say again? What can we say? We humble ourselves in the words of your Son, abundantly above what we could ask or think. Let God be true and all men liars. Thank you that there is one who is the way, the truth, the life. Thank you that he is the way unto you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.